Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. I want you to become a one percenter. What's that? Best of the best. A hypno one percenter. Those are the people who are the very best in the profession. And you know what that means? That means you know what you're doing. It means you quickly and effectively hypnotize. It means that you know how to test for specific levels of hypnosis that you need for the particular techniques you're going to use. And that you master some of the most powerful techniques available to the hypnotist, such as powerful direct suggestion, age regression, age progression work, forgiveness work, parts therapy, these kinds of things. And you can learn to do it all in a system called 5PATH. Hey, guess what? If you're watching this video anywhere except calbanyan.com, you need to go there right now, because right now, below this video, you know what's down there? We got text, we got links, we got graphics that all make this episode much more valuable to you. Hey, I'm here with L. Ron Ferguson today, and you know what, this is the last probably time I'll ever be with him, because, well, I should not even break the bad news, but he's got a bad case of hypnothyropathy. That's right. And he may just leave this world, you know, in a few days, because he's becoming so heavenly high, he's no earthly good. No, I'm just kidding. L. Ron's fine, but next week we're going to probably have a very special guest, and L. Ron is going to be with Madam Banyan. That's right, the GM, the general manager of the Banyan Hypnosis Center, my wife, Maureen. And you know what she's going to do? She's going to talk about how you book appointments. And this is going to be the million dollar episode, because I'll bet you she's probably booked close to $1 million worth of sessions and people, students for classes and all that. And we're working on it. There's a chance she won't be, there's a chance she will. Right now, L. Ron is putting together a list of questions to ask her about answering the phone, about making appointments, and overcoming objections, and all that kind of stuff. Before I hand it over to L. Ron, let me tell you about L. Ron. He's a number one percenter in the profession. He's been trained by some of the greats, like Gil Boyne. He's also gone through our course, become a one percenter. He has gone through our internship program, and now he sees clients at the Banyan Hypnosis Center. And if I knew someone who was in Orange County who needed some help, I would definitely have him on my very, 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 very short list of hypnotherapists I would recommend. All right, how you doing, L. Ron?
I'm doing good, Cal. And my official title is the last intern.
The kinda last intern.
Kind of like the last Jedi or the last starfighter, right?
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, hopefully that title never changes.
Yeah, we'll probably do it again someday, but I'm just not doing any interns right now.
Right. So technically speaking, right now,
I'll probably start up the intern program and then have you supervise them.
That's right. The last, the new internship by the last intern.
All right. That's like I'm the first 7th pather.
That's right. I'm the last intern.
Yeah. Hey, so you talked to Maureen. Let's hype this next episode a little bit. You were talking to Maureen, right?
About doing
that episode with her, or two or three.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And what kind of stuff are you going to ask her about?
Oh, this is going to be great. I mean, just talking about handling refunds, handling objections. Ooh, it's going to be golden. I'm going to add my 2 cents, of course, the 3 reasons people don't buy, all this kind of stuff from all the clients that I've booked on the phone. I mean, gradually listening to Maureen on the phone, my closing rate has gone up through the roof till now. I mean, I'm pretty proud of what I can do over the phone. And, you know, I think that we're really going to share a lot of very, very good advice.
And, you know, the best part is I'm going to get a month off.
Exactly.
And I think I got my class coming up in July. I'm looking at my calendar over here. I've got a certification course starting on the 12th of July. So I won't have to record anything next month. And I've also got November. I've got a certification course coming up starting on the 1st, if everything is correct. And then I've got the Week of Power Advanced Hypnotherapy Certification course coming up at the NGH convention. And you guys, you know what? Just go to hypnosiscenter.com and get all the information. Well, cool. Anything else you want to say?
About that?
About no. that.
No. Just okay. Stay tuned for next episode. I mean, we could talk about it forever, but then it would, you know, take away from the episode.
And it would take away from this episode.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. I wonder what episode this is. I remember every time I guess what episode it is, I just totally screw it up. This is episode number 176, and then it's 177. But you know, pretty soon we have episode 200. We are currently scheduled to have episode 200 on the 3rd of December, but anything could happen. Hey, you guys, when you see me looking over there, big year-sized map and calendar there that I'm looking at. All right, you got some questions for me, or what do you want to do?
Yeah, do you want to do a question, or do you want to do a little topic?
I don't care.
Okay, how about we talk about maximizing the use of pre- and post-suggestibility with the pre-hypnosis interview and the post-hypnosis interview? Because Dave Ellman talked about this a lot, using waking hypnosis. I mean, people are always at some degree of suggestibility that is, you know, higher and lower, depending on the situation, depending on where they are, depending on their environment, depending on their circumstances, depending on who they're talking to. And after all, you are a hypnotist. They're in your office. They have an arbitrary level of suggestibility right off the bat with no official induction taking place yet. So when they are in the pre-hypnosis interview, we talked about this in a previous episode, but I want to resurrect it here. It's all about building confidence and building expectations. And just as expectations color your experience, we want to tell them how good they're going to feel after the session. We want to keep on implanting these little suggestions about how effective the work is going to be for them. As soon as they start talking about their problem, we say things in the way of, well, you know what? What would it be like if we were just to wash all that away for you, for that problem to be gone? Okay, you see the look on their face and go, we do it all the time. Okay, or we say little things like, well, you know, you've really come to the right place to be free of this issue. Okay, or we just, like we were saying in the last episode, we make promises and then we keep them. You want to add anything to this, Cal? Talk about that?
Well, you know, a lot of, you're just really right on there. And some of the things that I think, one thing, you need a system. You need to know what you're going to be doing in the first session, second session, phase one, phase two. And the first phase of five path is preparation, testing, and convincing. And the goal, we have two goals in phase one. One is to have a somnambulistic client, and the other is to have a hopeful client. In last episode, I was talking a little bit about how our clients come to us frustrated, desperate, and what? Depressed. Now, I'm not talking about clinical depression. I'm talking about normal, everyday depression, which comes from not having any success in some area of their life and starting to feel that it's hopeless and they start to feel helpless. And as we begin to make these suggestions, just like L. Ron was talking about, you say, boy, you know, we handle that all the time. And just imagine for a moment what that life is going to be like as we overcome this problem. And to tell me about the benefits you expect to experience when we do overcome this problem. And that starts creating this experience in the mind of expecting success. And some of the positive vibration we're putting out kind of is contagious. Really, sometimes the hypnotist has to believe in the client before the client can believe in the client. So all these things that L. Ron is saying is absolutely true. Keep going, L. Ron.
Yeah, I mean, there's that saying, what's expected tends to be realized.
Exactly.
Okay? And just talking about overcoming cultural hypnosis or social hypnosis, I mean, you take, for example, here in America, what do we see for childbirth? On television, all this kind of stuff is, oh, God, oh, it's this big, painful experience, oh, my God. And then what do you know? People tend to have more painful childbirths. U.S. is 14th in the world for infant mortality rate. Okay, 1 in 4 births is a C-section because there's so many negative expectations, social, cultural hypnosis that's out there in the mind. And so it's up to us to start building other expectations so that they can realize those in their life and to dehypnotize those negative expectations. As soon as they start setting foot in your office, we start to, you know, turn the tables a little bit, remap things, start to open up possibility about what they can expect, and really just let them know that, hey, this issue is temporary. And after all, this does come from having what Cal says is a steamroller of confidence. After we personally have seen enough success in our clients, we start to expect success. And so our expectation of them being successful, like Cal just mentioned, us believing in the client before they believe in themselves, is almost like a contagion, a mind virus, if you will, that we can transfer to them, infect them, and they'll be better for it.
Hey, let me just add something to what you were saying with regard to whenever we use that example of childbirth. I always feel like, you know, in a way, men don't have the right to comment on that, because I know there's women out there going, oh, yeah, that's easy for you to say, you never had a child. And so don't talk to L. Ron, don't talk to me. Go online, look up hypnobirthing, get some information from Marie Mongan, and she'll tell you, gosh, you know what, you just don't have to have such a negative experience, and you can have a much more positive experience for you and your new baby. Another thing I want to talk about is a lot of times clients, they come in this hopeless state, and we want to get them into a more hopeful state. And they've, you know, maybe they've been put on anti-anxiety medication or anti-depression medication. And of course, you know, you have to follow the laws of, you know, your state or your province where you practice. And aside from getting doctor's referrals and whether you should do that or not, I want to talk about something else. I like to normalize what they're experiencing, and I think L. Ron can tell you a little bit about you know, what he's learned from watching what we call the Loretta videos. And but Loretta, this is a set of videos that is in our certification training course, both the live and the DVD set that you can get for Learn at Home. She's very upset. She's been told by counselors and other people in her life, psychiatrists, there's something wrong with you. And one of the first things I want to tell them, you know, unless they're obviously mentally disordered, like schizophrenia or, you know, some kind of profound or near profound kind of mental retardation or something, or damage because of, you know, trauma to the brain, something like that, brain-damaged individual. I mean, most of our people that we work with are just normal everyday people with normal everyday problems who've been told that they are too sad or too angry or too fearful or that there's something wrong with them. As I will just look at them and say, you know what, I want you to know my perspective on this, and that is, I believe there's really nothing wrong with you. Anyone that had been through what you've been through would pretty much feel and think and believe the same way. So given your circumstance, what you're experiencing is perfectly normal. And usually that's followed by a big, ah. You see, we want to be able to begin to work with our clients from a completely different perspective. If you start talking the talk that their counselor or psychiatrist gave them, they're going to be thinking in the back of their head, oh boy, here we go again. And they're going to start feeling either frustrated or they're going to start feeling depressed. And so what we want to do is begin to have them see what you're doing and your perspective as being the fresh start that they've always wanted. Why? Because those other things didn't work. And so the more we can, quote, normalize the situation, I think really puts them into a better place mentally to accept change and that there can be change. Anything you want to add to that, Elron?
No, I mean, that pretty much sums it up. It's about, once again, shifting the beliefs and their negative self-thoughts, you know, by really letting them know there's nothing wrong with them. It just seems to burst this little bubble, where after that they go, oh, wow, maybe there is nothing wrong with me. Okay, and then their self-image instantly starts to shift. And it's almost like a crack in that negative hypnosis. Once again, they start to, let's air into the into that little sealed egg, okay, so we can start to take the infection out right away.
Perfect. Good. So do you think we have fully addressed that topic?
Well, let's talk about what to do in the post-hypnosis interview. Because once again, they're suggestible to you still, especially more suggestible because they've just come out of hypnosis, all right? Anything we say is going to have a major impact on them. One of the things we do right away is we say, well, and five, open your eyes, and you do feel good, don't you? And that is not a question, it's a suggestion. We always do that. And then we start to have them talk about their insights and reinforce those insights and ask them things like, well, you know, who's in control now? And they go, oh, I am. And what I always like to say is, well, it'd be interesting. I think the rest of your week is just going to be great, don't you think? And they go, yeah, it really is. Once again, building these expectations. What else do you like to do in the post-hypnosis interview to really sink in the work that you just did?
Well, you know, one of the first things when they first open their eyes after you've done the emerging process is you do want to look at them and smile and say, and you do feel good, don't you? Because as soon as they're emerging, they're starting to begin to assess how they're feeling there and what they're thinking about the situation. So we want to get that last little suggestion in because hypnosis is not like a light switch where they are in hypnosis and then boom, they're totally out of hypnosis. It takes a while. It takes, depending on the situation, 30 seconds, a minute and a half, even longer. So we can slip in that suggestion. Now, another thing I really like to do is I use a technique that I use in hypnosis when I'm doing insight work. And when someone has achieved a powerful insight, something that's changed their life, for example, in the age regression, maybe we find out that the little child that they once were in the ISC, the initial sensitizing event, believed that there was something wrong with them. And because of that, mother didn't love them. Well, when we do the informed child work, grown-up can say to the child, as an example, gosh, there's really nothing wrong with you. You're very lovable, and mother loved you as well. She just didn't really show it at that time. Okay, good. So after we give that child that information, we run them through the ISC once again, knowing this, so they can go through without being negatively affected by it, knowing there's nothing wrong with them, they're lovable, and that mom loves them, if that isn't in fact the case. Then afterwards, while the child has just gotten through that ISC, I'll say, put an ending on this. I've changed because now I know. And they put an ending on it. I know that I'm okay and that I'm lovable and mom loves me. And I'll say, good, now put an ending on this. I've changed because now I feel. And they say, now I feel, you know, safe, secure, lovable, whatever it is. Now, what that does is it helps to crystallize the shift that's happened cognitively and emotionally inside of the child at the level of the mind where that initial sensitizing event is stored. So they're actually being able to know then what they know now. And, of course, we'll go through the SSEs bringing that shift in perception and feeling forward to now. I may even do some age progression work. But the topic is about what about post-hypnotically, after they've emerged? And I will say, after they've emerged, say, and you do feel good, don't you? And they say, yes. And then when I will say something like this, I'll say, repeat after me, I've changed. And they'll say, I've changed. I say, good, put an ending on it. I've changed because now I know. And they'll say the change that happened to them cognitively in the age regression. And then I will also say, put an ending on this one. I've changed because now I feel. And they will then be able to express that post-hypnotically. This is so important because what that does is it brings the changes that were experienced in the hypnosis into the post-hypnotic state. Because I found in some clients to say, well, of course I thought that and felt that. When we were doing hypnosis, I was hypnotized. I was going to say or do whatever, you know, I thought I was supposed to do in the hypnosis. But when we have them reiterate the insights about how they perceive the situation, what they think, the meaning they gave to the situation, and how that affected them emotionally post-hypnotically, after they've emerged, then that takes that change that happened in the hypnosis, brings it into the present, and the adult aspect of the client, your client, takes responsibility and accepts those changes as being permanent, as being in the now. Now, another thing I'd like to do is I do a variation on, and I first learned this little bit of patter from Don Mauton, and he has this patter called Red, Red, Red. And in the emerging process, he'll say something like, over the next few days, well, I've modified it so much, I'm going to kind of just paraphrase the way I do it. But over the next few days, longer if you like, the color red is going to be more noticeable than ever before. That's right, the color red. Could be the color of a car or clothing. It could be nail polish, lipstick, and so on. Every time you see the color red, it'll reinforce everything that you have experienced today. And, for example, we can tie that seeing the color red to the insights. We can say, for example, every time you see the color red, it'll be like a little Valentine's Day card to you, reminding you that you are always lovable, that there is nothing wrong with you, and your mother always loved you. So then what happens by, and let me just kind of run through it again, during the emerging process, like I would say, one, starting to emerge, two, over the next couple of days, longer if you like, the color red is going to be more noticeable than ever before. Red, red, red could be a taillight, stoplight, the color of a car, clothing. Could be as small as a lady's nail polish or as large as a big red sunset. But every time you see the color red, it'll be like receiving a little Valentine's Day card reminding you that you are lovable. There's nothing wrong with you and your mother has always loved you. And then I would kind of repeat that process again. So then what we do is we have a post-hypnotic suggestion for a couple of days, longer if they like, that every time they see the color red, consciously or subconsciously, that it reinforces the insight that was experienced during the age regression, or it might have been during a parts work or forgiveness or age progression, whatever it is. How's that? Does that help out?
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that covers it.
This is fun. This is like getting to do my class without having to do my class, because I get to talk about all this really good stuff.
Right? And then you don't have to answer, questions.
Yeah, in class I just say, go watch podcast 176.
Exactly. No. Exactly. Just read the manual, okay?
I don't really do
that. I already covered that.
Hey, you know what I do? One thing I'll mention is that a prerequisite for taking my class is I'm going to be at the 10-day certification course, the Banyan Hypnosis Super Course, or the Week of Power, which is the Advanced Hypnotherapy course. Everyone is required to go to my website, The Secret Language of Feelings, and listen to a series of audios I have there so that they can understand really how emotions are motivating behavior. And so that's a new thing that I do. I've been doing that for about the last 6 months, and it's really helped out in the class. So you might want to do that. TheSecretLanguageOfFeelings.com. All right. Hey, we're about 20 minutes, huh?
We are done.
Anything else you want to say?
No.
Okay, wrap it up.
Thank you for watching this episode. A lot of good information. And it's free. So, yeah, it's okay. You can say thank you in the little comments underneath. We like to give this information because this is just the tip of the iceberg. This is just the tip of the tiger's tail, so to speak. There's a tiger attached to that, and if you want to know how to get that, check out hypnosiscenter.com or hypnosis.org. Take a look at our training schedule. Our classes are pretty full right now. July is pretty packed. If enough people request it, we can always add another class to the schedule. Check out the products.
Speak for yourself.
Hey, you know, come on.
You guys all wanting to work me too hard. Hey, you guys also, did you know that L. Ron usually teaches some of the class? He teaches like instant inductions and what did you teach? What else did you teach in this last class?
Parts mediation therapy, instant inductions, and whatever you make me do.
Whatever. I have them up there.
Yeah. I need to do more. I really need to do more. I've been too busy in my practice. Yeah, one thing Cal said, he goes, you see, well, after I started teaching the parts mediation therapy role play, I go, you know what, I'd be happy. I wouldn't mind it if I never had to teach that again for the rest of my life. That's right. He goes, you see, ideally, I just show up and say, hi, my name's Cal Banyan. And then I show up again and he say, here's your diploma and you do the rest.
That would someday be really fun. All right. Thank you, Elron. Hey, you guys, be a one percenter. Go to hypnosiscenter.com. Go to hypnosis.org. Get my free Learn to Hypnotize videos. Start doing them rapid inductions. Got a whole bunch of other really cool free stuff. Tell your friends. Fan us on facebook.com/hypnosis, etc. That's it. Be a one percenter. Be cool. Help the most people you can. That's it. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.